Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we are a family that is related by your blood. As we study your word this morning, let us be devoted to you. Open our eyes to see. Allow our ears to hear, and let the words that are spoken be yours, that we might be drawn closer to each other and to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Hold on. I got this thing upside down somehow or another. Acts 2:42 is where we are parked for this month. We looked last week at the events that led up to this verse. And it was the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of the believers and changing their lives. The Holy Spirit came, was the first time the Holy Spirit came and made the commitment to stay. And if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And 2:42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And as we look at these four things of what we are supposed to be committed to, not have in our lives, but be our lives. Today we come to fellowship. I'm going to do something that scares me every time I do this because some of y'all are crazy. I'm going to make this a little interactive because to understand fellowship, we need to understand what our definition of fellowship is. So when we think of we're going to have a fellowship, what does that involve?
Food.
Immediately, food. What else? What else do you have to have a good Baptist fellowship? Now, y'all, don't be nice, because we're not looking for the right answers. We're looking for what our definition of fellowship is. You got to have your friends there. And why do we have to have our friends there?
So you have someone to talk to.
And
someone you like.
You not talk, but if we're going to have a good fellowship,
we got to have gossip.
Right. Right? We got to have gossip. See? We're being real today. That's what fellowship is, right? Food and gossip. That makes a good Baptist fellowship. I'm going to clue you into something. They were devoted to four things, right? What's the third one?
Communion.
The word that is used in the Greek is the word that not only includes communion, but having a meal together. Okay? It is not just communion, it is having a meal together. Because many times in that society, that was part of the meal in the early church. We're going to have a meal, but we're also going to have communion. That's the word there. So if the third thing is having a meal together, then that can't be fellowship, right? Right? So the scripture is talking about something else other than how we define fellowship, as you got to have food. So if the scripture is talking about something else other than fellowship, then we need to redefine what we see as fellowship and understand what we're supposed to be devoted and committed to. And this is probably the hardest of the four for us to wrap our head around and be devoted to. And I'm going to explain why as we go along. Okay? But if the Scripture's not talking about meals, and the Scripture's never talking about gossip, that other than telling you you shouldn't, what is it that we're supposed to be so committed to that we invest our entire lives in? I want to go back to a story that we looked at just a little bit last week. And turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because in this story is the definition of how we see fellowship and how God sees fellowship. Wrapped up in this one story. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 is where I'm going to start reading. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the feet, listened to what he taught. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I'll do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing to be concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Martha's worried about the details of the dinner. Right? If you have somebody over to your house for dinner, let's be honest, how many people are worried about what they're going to think about my house because it needs to be spotless, because everybody lives in a completely spotless house, right? And if mine was anything other than completely spotless, they're going to think I'm a slob. Or the next conversation at the fellowship, I'm not at it. Did y'all see her house? Martha's worried. Martha is us. She's worried about the details of the dinner. That's not fellowship that Jesus wants us to be devoted to. Making sure the lines in the carpet when you vacuum it are completely straight is not the point of fellowship. We spend so much time and energy in presenting an image that we miss the point of fellowship. The fellowship that Jesus wants us devoted to. See, you get so wrapped up in the details of the dinner that you forget the point of the fellowship. And the fellowship that Jesus is talking about has nothing to do with having somebody over to your house. Okay? The fellowship that he is talking about is when you and I invest ourselves into each other's lives and encourage each other and help each other's faults. Because you see, one of the things that we're so worried about, and this makes me nuts, we're so worried about what the people in this room will think of me. When what we should know is that everybody in this room already knows you're a sinner. They already know that. It's like walking into a hospital and seeing people laying in hospital beds. You know they're sick, right? Or they wouldn't be there. But what we try to do as patients in the hospital is to act like we're not patients, that we already conquered the illness, so I'm better than you, and I'm going to help you. That's not it. We got to get past putting forth an image and what people are going to think of me, to where we can fellowship with each other. Because guess what? We're all we have. And like that video, which is who knows how old, okay? But everybody, well, most people in here are old enough to love the Gaithers and that group of people, but this is family. This is our family. And some of us will not have blood relatives in heaven. We won't. As much as you want, they won't be there. So your real family is people who have been washed in the blood of Christ. And we shouldn't have to put on a show or an image for them anyway. We're all washed by the same blood. Look at verse 43. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many signs and miracles, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They worshiped together in the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. You see, what fellowship is supposed to be to us is that you and I are encouraging each other, even when we fall down. And what we as a church in general, not just this one, but a church in general, is we like to shoot our wounded. Right? We like to shoot our wounded. That's the dumbest thing I can ever think of. When what we should know is that everybody in this room is going to fail. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm at the point in this journey that anything that any of you do, I promise you it won't surprise me. It won't. Because every single one of us is capable of the worst that you could imagine, except by the grace of God. And so when we fall, our job in fellowship is to pick each other up, not shoot each other. I heard a story about a young lady that was going to travel from Alberta to the Yukon in a broken down Honda Civic. She didn't know any better, but she decided she was going to go. She set out on the first day's journey, and she made it up into the mountains for the first night, stopped at a little hotel, got a room, and she told the desk clerk, "I want a wake-up call at 6:30. And the desk clerk said, "A.M.?" She said, "Yeah." And he looked very puzzled. She didn't know any better. She went on to bed. She got her wake-up call and looked out, and up in the mountains at that time of year, there was a deep fog that rolled in every morning, and you cannot see your hand in front of your face, much less travel. Not wanting to look like she didn't know any better, she decided to go down to the little cafe to eat breakfast. There was nobody in there but two truckers. They invited her over to sit down to have breakfast, and she felt obliged because there was nobody there but the two of them. And one of the truckers looked at her and he said, where are you headed? And she said, to Yellowknife. And he said, in that Civic? And she said, yeah. And he said, no, you're not. She goes, what? He goes, it's too dangerous. He goes, you'll never make it off the mountain in that car. And she said, I'm determined to try. And he said, well, we're just going to have to give you a hug. And she slid back and she said, you're not touching me. And he giggled and he said, no, not like that. He said, if you're determined to do that, we're going to put one truck in front of you, one truck behind you, and we're going to lead you off this mountain. All morning, she looked at the two red lights on the back of that trailer, and it's all she could see. And the thought hit her that for you and I in life, there are times when we're determined to do things that are nearly impossible. But when you have somebody who's been there before leading you and somebody watching your back, it's amazing what you can accomplish when their only concern is your well-being. That's what fellowship is. You see, there are going to be times when you need somebody to lead you off the mountain. There are other times when you need to be the leader. That's what fellowship is. Us investing in our lives to the point where your image doesn't matter. Because they already know you're a worthless sinner without Christ. So I don't care what your house looks like. Be you. I don't care. Okay? But when we get rid of the gossip and shooting our wounded and our concern is for your well-being, it's when we get to the place where Jesus and these believers understood. They spent every day together encouraging one another. That's what God wants for us, to be encouragers for one another. That's why we show up here, to worship Him and encourage one another. That's what fellowship is. Look at this with me. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I'm going to read 24 and 25. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, because encouraging one another, especially now that the day of His return draws near. You know what we're being told? We need each other and we need to be encouraged. Satan absolutely loves for Christians to be isolated. That's when you get defeated. Think with me for a minute, and I got some military people in here. military strategy, if you need to defeat your enemy, what's the first thing you want to do? You know what it is? Cut off their supply line. Cut off their supply line. And the second thing is to get them isolated. If you can cut off their supply line and get them surrounded, you can defeat them. So what Satan wants us to do is to be cut off from our supply line. This is our supply line. You are part of the supply line. Remember the jumper cables? Somebody needs you to give them God's power through their life, through a kind word. But God wants us cut off. Satan wants us cut off. And Satan's very good at it, because I'm not going back to that church anymore because you know what they did? Fill in the blank. You know what they did? Fill in the blank. I have never heard anybody say, I'm not going back to that church anymore because they're too encouraging. I'm not going back to that church anymore because they're too nice. I'm not going back to that church anymore because they care about me. You'll never hear that. Satan wants us isolated so he can defeat us. And he uses us to do it. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Lions are incredibly powerful. King of the jungle, right? You know what they do when they're looking for dinner? They look for the weakest and to get them away from the herd, to get them isolated so they can devour them. You know when we're at our weakest? When life is hard and you stumble and you start to think of, what are they going to think of me? I did this. This is a hospital for sinners. And nothing should surprise us. Y'all know I live with a nurse. Okay? If she has a kid come in bleeding, she's not going to decide to treat them based on whether or not what they did was a good thing or a bad thing. Right? Think about that. I'm bleeding. What happened? I cut myself. Oh, I can't treat you. That was dumb. Why'd you cut yourself? Fellowship for you and I doesn't depend on a clean, perfect person. We're all dirty. And it's but by the grace of God that we're saved. And we are family through His blood. And family takes care of family. And that's what fellowship is about. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for the example of the early church. I thank You how they had the Holy Spirit come into their lives and they became devoted to You, to Your teaching and to fellowshipping, to encouraging and lifting up each other. Father, let us follow their example. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. This is your time. Opportunity to love somebody. I hope that is your desire, and it is my prayer for you to surrender all. As you leave here today, I hope that you make an impact in somebody's life this week to encourage them and be a true follower of Christ with fellowshipping with them. Next week is prayer. Do not miss this. Okay? Do not miss this. I have friends that are going to help me preach. You have to be here to see this. As we leave here, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for loving us and giving us a family to encourage one another. Let us be ever mindful of what true fellowship is. And let us be a family for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.